Thank you, worship team. Don't you just love worshiping with that song? Really what I am just blown away by with that song of worship. It is really what we're going to be talking about today, but it's this, and Pastor said it a few minutes ago. He said, the Christian life is not difficult. It's impossible. This morning, if you're here and you're feeling just tired, this message is for you. If you're here this morning and you're working really hard and you're like, man, I'm up every day and I'm reading the Bible and I'm just, man, yeah, I'm good. This message is for you. If you're feeling overwhelmed about circumstances in life, this message is for you. If you were just arguing with your husband or your wife before you came in today and you're feeling that angst, this message is for you. If you're feeling alone, maybe you lost a loved one and you're feeling so alone, this message is for you, because today we're going to be talking through a simple little text, and I'll be honest with you, I don't have any wise words of my own, but what I bring to you today is the Word of God, which is in and of itself full wisdom and truth. And so my prayer today is that you discard Nathan Meeks, because I'm not that smart, y'all. But I have the power of God through His Word living through me, as you do too if you've trusted in Jesus Christ. And my prayer is that the Word will just impact your heart. 20 years ago, well, probably more like 18 years ago, I had the responsibility of teaching my kid some chores around our house. And one of the first chores that I taught, besides picking up toys, was to my son, Micah. And it was to vacuum. And he was about 5 or 6 years old. The vacuum was taller than him. And I said, this is, and he's, and so I go, okay, son, we're going to vacuum this room. And I'm a person who's very particular when it comes to, like, flooring. Like, the whole house can be in total disarray, but if the floor looks clean, man, everything's wonderful in my life. But if the floors are messy, I feel like everything's messy. And so I go, okay, Micah, I'm going to teach you how to vacuum. And if you would ask him, this is how he still vacuums today. Can you believe this? This is going to be awesome. So I said, this is what you do. You go to a room, you take the vacuum, and you go around the whole perimeter. The whole perimeter. Make sure you hit every square inch of that perimeter, going, try to get underneath the couch as much as possible. And then you come to one side and you go all the way forward and all the way backward. Then you move over 7 inches, approximately the width of the vacuum. And then you go forward and you go backward. And you do that till you fill the whole thing in. And so I taught my son how to vacuum. And so he would take the vacuum and plug in the vacuum to the outlet like you have right here, and he would start vacuuming. But there were times when he was vacuuming that the vacuum cord wasn't quite long enough. So he would like try to do this acrobatic, stretchy yoga thing where he's like, trying to make that vacuum stretch. But inevitably, what happens, y'all? The power cord comes loose, disconnects. And then the thing that vacuum was created to do stops. All because it didn't stay connected to the power source. Today, we're going to be talking about abiding. We're going to be talking about staying connected to the source through your day, moment by moment. The eternal idea of abide is to stay connected, to be in partnership with, or to walk alongside with. It is not an independent term, but it is a fully dependent term. And I want to let you know, there is a thought in today's world in Christianity that we're saved by grace, but to live the Christian life, we need to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and try harder. And I want to let you know, you will fail nonstop. You might be good for a couple days or a couple weeks or even a couple months, but you will continue to fail if you try to do it that way, because we were never meant to live the Christian life on our own. We were designed by God that Jesus Christ, alive in us, would actually live out his life through us. But we've traded it for this pseudo-Christianity of trying harder. And all it does is create guilt, shame, and a sense of failure because we are trying to do things in our own strength. And this morning, I want to invite you to John 15. As I am inviting you to abide in Christ. Now, we're going to do a quick review. Last week, Pastor Sid talked about John 1 through 5, and he stole a little bit of my thunder. Boo, Sid. No, not Boo, Sid. He's wonderful. But to give a little backdrop for this, I know Sid shared this last week, but this right here is a text shortly after the Last Supper. Later in the evening, they had get ready to go, and they had the Last Supper, and Judas left, and everybody thought he was actually going to go buy more supplies, but he was actually going to start the betrayal process of Jesus. Jesus had just told them in chapter 14, listen, I'm leaving. I spent 3 years with you, and now I'm leaving. I've taught you. You've been my disciples. I've been your teacher. You sat under my tutoring, and I'm leaving. And they're like, what? But he goes, don't worry. In fact, he said, don't let your heart be troubled. This is a beautiful phrase. Don't let your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. For I go to my Father's house to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. That deserves an amen right there, y'all. Amen. Because this world is not it. And Jesus said, well, you guys know the way. And then one of the apostles is like, no, we don't know the way. Like, how are we supposed to get there? And he goes, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And then after that section of text where Jesus was talking with his apostles, he's telling them to remain in his love and abide in his love. And then we come to John 15. And picking up in John 15, let's read the first four verses there. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. So remain in me, and I remain in you. For no branch can bear fruit by itself. It just remains in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Here we start out, Jesus telling his apostles, those 11 apostles, saying, guys, listen. I am the vine. My Father is the vine dresser. He is the one that's doing the work in the garden. But this, what's coming next, what you're about to do, you need to understand, I am the root of all this. And I'm the root of life. I'm the one that gives nourishment and nutrients to you. I am the vine. My Father is the vine dresser. And he says, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Now, some people look at that and goes, well, this means it's about salvation. No, none of this text is about salvation. In fact, if you look at that, the word for cuts off is eros, which means to lift up. And Pastor Sid talked about that a little bit last week, where it means to literally lift up, where the vines during the off season were laying on the ground, and they were when the season came for them to start producing, if they weren't producing, they would literally just pick them up, put them on rocks or on little trellis type things to get them off the ground so they could start producing fruit. Otherwise, anything that sits on the ground ends up rotting. And so they would say, I would start lifting them up. They need to lift up. Why? So they'll produce some fruits. But then he goes on to say, and those things that do produce some fruit, he goes, I prune so that it'll even be more fruitful. And so not only does he lift it up, once it starts producing some fruit and it starts looking a little healthy, I'll start pruning things away. He's saying, listen, guys, my Father is the vine, the gardener, and I'm the vine. And if anything, any branch in me, listen, if you're abiding in me, I'm going to lift you up if you're not bearing fruit. And I'm going to start pruning you. And sometimes that pruning is painful and difficult. But it always is for the purpose of our good and his glory. Always our good and his glory. 18, almost 19 years ago, I got a big pruning in my life. Almost 19 years ago, God pruned me by literally taking a pair of scissors and snapping my back and cutting my back. Before that, I was a carpenter for several years. I had good things going on. I was successful as a carpenter. I made amazing money, y'all, amazing money. I was serving in the church. I was a volunteer youth leader for middle school. I met with kids and discipled them. And so I was producing, I believe, through abiding in Christ, there was some fruit coming out of it. I believe so. And yet God said, no, I want to do something different. I want to prune you a little more. And in that moment, I'm sitting there going, what in the world is going on, God? But I wouldn't be here with you all if the Lord had not did a little 19 years ago. You see, maybe you're in a circumstance of pruning because he was telling them, guys, there's going to be a sense of all this going on. In the future, there's going to be pruning, but I want to let you know, I've already started pruning you. Let's keep reading here in verse 3. So he says, you are already clean. That word clean is the same word as pruned because of the words I've spoken to you. I've already started doing a work in your heart, taking away things that are not part of the process. It might even be good things in your life that you really love, but God wants to prune out. Maybe it's bad things in your life. God's pruning out. But he's saying, listen, I've already done this. I've started pruning you guys. You're already clean. So remain in me as I also remain in you, because no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. You see, we need to understand the only way to produce good fruit is to live connected and dependent upon the vine, because disconnected branches don't produce good fruit. Let me say that again. The only way to produce good fruit is to live connected and dependent upon the vine. Disconnected branches don't produce good fruit. If we are not abiding or staying connected, or like the vacuum analogy, if we're not staying connected to the source, we will not start producing the things that look like Jesus. And why won't we? Because it is his work through us. Like, we can do pseudo things, but we can't actually do what Jesus does, y'all. 8 years ago, one of my first sermons I ever preached here was called Fake Fruit. I don't know if y'all remember that, where I actually duct taped. I talked about Galatians. We're going to be looking at Galatians here in a couple minutes. But I literally duct taped fruit to people's bodies. I had someone come up here. I said, imagine you're the tree and you're producing fruit. And I duct taped fruit to people's bodies. And what I was talking about that 8 years ago is this. We can even try to make things stick. Love, joy, peace, patience. We can try, but if we are not abiding in Christ, that fruit will fall off and rot. It's like if you trim a tree that's not connected, eventually whatever's left there will just start rot and wither away. And he's saying, listen, if you don't remain in me, if you're not abiding, if you're not staying connected to me, you're not going to bear fruit. And he's not saying you can't do anything. We're going to talk about that in a minute. He's saying this, listen, nothing of value, nothing of eternal value is going to last, because the only way to produce good fruit is to live connected and dependent upon the vine, because disconnected branches don't produce good fruit. And I'm going to ask you a question. Are you abiding? Are you abiding? Are you staying connected to the vine? Now, I am not saying, are you getting up in the morning, reading a Bible for 15 minutes or 20 minutes or even an hour, and then going on your day? I'm not saying you say your prayers in the morning, you say your prayers at night, and everything's great. And I'm saying, are you abiding? You see, you can't take the branch, have it connected in the morning, cut it off, walk with it, and then think it's going to be healthy, try to plug it back and graft it back together. It has to stay connected to that source with that continual connection. Otherwise, it's not healthy. You see, the Christian life is not meant to compartmentalize our life and say, okay, I got my God time here and my work life here and my family life here. And we love to compartmentalize, don't we? I'm watching Netflix, Lord. Don't convict me here. Oh, I'm at work. I can say this, but not around my wife and kids. And it's not even about doing the things. It's about letting God work through you and say, God, here is my day, and I'm inviting you to walk with me, and I'm going to continue a conversation with you through the whole day. It's kind of like that play, Fiddler on the Roof. Who here has seen Fiddler on the Roof? Okay. The cool people have. And I think I might have used this analogy in the past, but I think it's such a phenomenal analogy. The story is about this Jewish family, and there's a lot of change going on. And the father is steeped in traditions, but everything else is changing, and the world is swirling around him. But what I love about this play is this father named Tavia. He has this continual conversation. And if you watch the play, like, he's talking, and he's talking with people, and I'm saying everything will freeze. And then he starts talking to God about the circumstance in that moment. It's just an ongoing conversation. Like, this, his daughter came to him, and going out of tradition is marrying someone that wouldn't go follow the tradition of their plan of marriage. And they said, well, we gave each other a pledge, Father, Papa. We gave each other a pledge. And he, and everything freezes. And he goes, they gave each other a pledge. Talking to the Lord. And we might laugh about that, but we are called to have that ongoing conversation through our day with our Lord. Because if we have the conversation as we're going through the Lord, it's not a start and stop. It's just a dependent, relational conversation that says, God, I cannot do this life, whether it's working in a hospital or for a newspaper or for a city or as an inspector or whether it's being an engineer or a nurse. I don't care what it is. We were not called to do this life of Christianity or live life independent from the one who created us. We were called to live fully dependent upon him. And let life guide us. You know, back before I was a pastor, I told you guys God sniffed my back and pruned my life. Before I was a carpenter. And there was many times where I was literally going through my day, and I'd be having, you guys know those conversations in your head that go like 1,000 miles an hour sometimes, because I do that quite often. And I remember then someone came to me and said, hey, Nate, we got a problem. We need to do this. And I would really, this is the phrase I would say, guys, there's no problems, there's just solutions. Let me talk to the Lord to think about it. And I can tell you, regularly, the Lord would give me an idea for something that I'm like, that is not my way, I think. I don't do that. And just a solution would pop into my head. And it was just that continual conversation of reliance, saying, God, I know you're the one who gives us all understanding. Will you give me understanding here? You see, it's that continual conversation. It's the idea of just walking alongside with Jesus and taking him with you everywhere you go, staying continually connected, saying, what do you think? What do you think? You see, the only way to produce good fruit is to live connected and dependent upon the vine. Starting in verse 5, then Jesus starts doing a little dive of defining the separation of abiding and not abiding. Now, I want to reiterate, this is not a salvation text. He is talking to men who already are his followers and have trusted in him. And so here, the one that had not actually is the one that left already. And so starting with verse 5, let's read 5 through 9 here, or 5 through 8. I am the vine and you are the branches. Here he reiterates that again. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. But if you do not remain in me, you are like the branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into a fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit and show yourselves to be my disciple. Here we start seeing Jesus contrasting those who abide and those who don't. He goes back to reiterating, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Here we need to understand consistent dependency causes more fruit to blossom. If we are continually abiding, we will bear, it says, what kind of fruit? Much fruit. It goes from no fruit to some fruit to much fruit. And the much fruit happens when we are staying regularly connected to the vine. If you wonder why you're in life and you're not producing the fruit of the Spirit in your life and you're not having the sense of walking in submission to the Holy Spirit, it's because you're not staying connected to the vine on a consistent basis, friends. And he's saying, listen, what I'm calling you to do, guys, is not just hard. It's impossible. Pause and think about what the next 1, 2, and 3 years looked like for many of these apostles. The persecution continued. The scattering of the saints. There was some division in the church. Peter, even literally that same night, he went through a season of not abiding because he literally became a foul-mouthed, cursing dude denying Jesus. Just like that. He's saying, listen, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But let's keep reading. But if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. So such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. First, one thing we need to understand. This right here is, like I said, is not about a salvation. But it's saying if you are not going to abide, if you are not going to remain in me, that word thrown away is a different word from the one we find in verse 2. This is the word halo, which means set aside. You're set aside. You become like the other things that are not on my team, even if you're my child. I set you to the side. If you're not going to stay connected to me, I'll set you to the side. I'll sideline you. It's kind of like a basketball team where there's one player out there that won't listen to the rest of the team and won't listen to the coach, and they play their own game. Y'all ever watch a sport like that? And that coach goes, sit down now. And they put someone else out there. They sideline them. He's saying, listen, if you're going to do this, you're going to be sidelined. Because what you're producing is not after me. And so often, we try to do things in our own strength, and we need to understand this. Consistent dependency causes more fruit, but independent produces bad or no fruit. The Christian who lives regularly independent from Jesus produces nothing of value and is no better than the vines with zero connection that is thrown out. It's no better. Yeah, you have your place secure in heaven, hallelujah. But you become a worthless for Christ thing here on earth. Yay, me. Are you that? Have you, like, I've got my ticket to heaven, yay. But I don't really abide, and I'm not letting the fruit of God live in my life. I compartmentalize my life. Because he's saying, listen, if that's you, you are no better then those things that get thrown out, the chaff, the wind, the things that are inside the weeds that are not even a part of this, you know what? You're like that stuff. I set you aside or I burnt you. It's worthless. Don't be that. You see, we're not called to be independent. You know, it says this in 1 Corinthians 3, 10 through 15. By the grace that God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, someone else building on it, but each one building with care. For no one can lay any foundation other than one already, which is in Christ Jesus. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has built survives, the builder will receive a reward. But if it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. You see, here he's saying, listen, the foundation is Jesus Christ, but if you're trying to build your own thing, independent of what you're called by God to do, there will be a day in judgment. There will be a day of reconciliation. There will be a day of reckoning, where everything we've done will be laid out. And the things that were done in our own strength will be burned up. The things that we do in our own reliance, not in submission, obedience, and connection to the vine, but the things we do in our own strength, they're just a waste. Because they're like the chaff that's burnt. It's not for God's glory. You see, as we keep reading here, we are designed to live life in reliance upon Jesus. I believe one of the saddest things on earth, my friends, is the person who knows Jesus as their Savior, but doesn't live life regularly dependent upon Him. That person has the power of God at his or her fingertips, but refuses to walk in it. That is a wasted Christian life. Isn't that sad? The person that just says, I have the power of God at my fingertips. If I could just stay connected to the vine, abiding in the vine, literally have that continued walk. But no, I'm going to do my own thing. And so the Christian, the wandering Christian, who just bounces around to and fro, because they're not connected to the source. They're not staying connected to the source. You see, we are called to continually stay connected and rely upon the source. And you can't rely on yesterday's reliance. Like, yesterday I was good. I abided all day long. Today, I think I could borrow off the yesterday's reliance. You know what happens when you borrow from yesterday's reliance? You start naturally wandering your own way. C.S. Lewis says this. He says, as you say, this was a letter to a friend of his who was going through some struggles. As you say, the thing is to rely on God. The time will come when you will regard all this misery as a small price to pay for having brought to that dependence. Meanwhile, don't I know? The trouble is that relying on God has to begin all over again every day as if nothing had yet been done. You see, it's going back to the source of reliance every day. And I want to let you know a little secret. This is everyone who trusts in Jesus Christ. I, Pastor Nate, have to abide. And if I'm being fully transparent with you, sometimes I let other things fill my brain. I try to become a people pleaser instead of one who abides God and abides in Christ and said, God, I want your way. You know, I actually thought that when I became a pastor someday that I'd become less of a people pleaser. Didn't happen. I thought I'd be worried less about what people think, but now I have people who have brothers and sisters in Christ. Now I worry about what you think. And here's the sad, scary part, if I'm being totally transparent. Sometimes I do things because I want you to like me more than I want to care about what God wants from me. And when I do those actions, those are the things that are burnt up and worthless. Because we're not called to do things for people or even ourselves. We're called to abide. Stay connected to the vine. Because we need that continual connection, that continual reliance. And if we do continual abide, let's see what the result is. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. Here we understand this. Continual dependence and submission aligns our heart with God's heart to the place where we can ask in confidence. You know, it says this in Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of the heart. The desires of your heart. Here, that Psalm 37:4 is a passage of Saul talking to his troops, pointing him to the Lord. And the idea of delight means to find your joy, your peace, your purpose. In fact, align your heart with his heart, and he will give you a desire of your heart. Y'all get that? If you align your heart with his heart, he'll give you the desires of your heart. But you know why he can give you the desires of your heart? Because you've aligned your heart with his heart. Say that real fast 5 times. When we say, not my way, but your way, you work through me, Lord, your will, but not my will be done. Jesus said those exact words. We can be confident and ask things. That even if we don't get the exact way we think they should happen, when we're walking in submission, when our heart is truly wanting God's will, it will happen in our life and we can ask things in confidence because we are abiding in him. And not only that, look at verse 8. And this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. See, right here, as we look at this verse, why do we want this fruit? Why do we want to abide? So the Father is glorified, so we bear much fruit to glorify the Father. So we will have crowns to cast at the feet of Jesus and to the Father, where we can say, not my will, but thine be done. Some of your passages here might say to show or to prove yourselves to be my disciples. But if you actually go back to the Greek there, the word is geome, which means to be. So this is my Father's glory, that you bear fruit and that you be my disciple. It's not to prove, it's to say, to rest in the fact that I am your rabbi and you are my student. For God's glory. And then what we look here in verse 10, Jesus starts giving the key to abiding and examples of abiding. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you, so now remain in my love. The key to abiding in the Father's love is to keep his love as our filter, our lens in life. In fact, everybody do this with me real quick. Take your hands like this. Create the letter four. Open them up. Take them like this, palm backside out, and do this. Look through life through the lens of his love. Everything you do, you walk, you see God's love. He loves me, he loves me, he loves me. When we understand and look through the lens of his love, when we keep that the Father loved Jesus and Jesus loves them, and he says, so the Father has loved me, now remain in my love. See, we need to keep that forefront in front of us. That we keep that because his love and the understanding and the vision and the view of his love will actually sustain us through a lot of pain, a lot of circumstances, a lot of grief, a lot of sorrow in the good times and the bad times. When we go, I don't know what's going on, but I know Jesus loves me. When we keep that lens, we want to run back to the vine. We want to stay connected to the vine. You know, when I get off work here at the end of the day, coming out of this office, my favorite place to go is to go home. Now, I like going home because I feel like my home is relaxing. But I actually like going home because my wife is there. She's pretty. And I really like her. And I know she loves me. I don't doubt it. She's not mean to me. She's not aggressive against me. She doesn't do everything I always want, but she loves me. So I want to run home to her. Why do I want to run home? Because she loves me. She's for me, not against me. And when we keep the love of God in view, we want to stay connected to him. And we go, I want to run to the Father because I recognize he loves me. He is for me, not against me. No matter the circumstance I am, I need to keep that love in front of me. But not just that. We need to understand that to obey God is to abide in his love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain or abide in his love. That is the idea of staying connected to and reliant upon. Remember, this is not about us trying to like stay and remain. It's just the relational connection. When we walk in obedience to God, we will abide in his love. We'll stay connected to his love. Because, I don't know if you guys remember this, Jesus was being tested one time, and someone came to him and said, what are the two greatest commandments? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, body, soul, and strength. And the second is likewise, to love your neighbor as yourself. You see, when we abide in the love of God, stay connected to that, we are actually obeying his commands. But not just that. Abiding in Christ's love produces God's love, joy, and more. He said this, verse 11, I've told you this so that your joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. He's saying, listen, keep the view of love. Stay in my love. Abide in my love. And I'm telling you this because if you do, your joy will be complete. Perfect. Wanting nothing. That's what the word complete means. Fully mature. If you abide in my love, your joy will be complete. You see, it is one of those fruits that come from abiding. In Galatians, there's a whole group of fruits that come with abiding. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and against such there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. That is to abide in the Spirit, to stay connected in the Spirit, to continually walk. And if we are abiding, we will start producing these fruits in our life. But here's the thing, it's actually not us producing, it's him doing the work in us. Like we can't just like, I need love. I'm gonna try love more. I'm not gonna have peace. I gotta try to have more peace. It's not that, it's saying, Lord, when I rely on you and trust on you and depend upon you and I am staying continually connected to you, these will start coming in my life. Honestly, you guys, some of you might even heard me ask this question. When you're coming to me and you ask struggles and you're going through a circumstance, a lot of times I'll ask this question. Are you experiencing joy? No. Are you experiencing love or peace? No. If I start noticing that you're not experiencing those things, the first thing I do is point you back to Jesus and say, you're not staying connected to the vine, y'all. Like, I'm not some special guru that has some, like, awesome ideas. I'm very simply minded. But the reality is I recognize if you don't stay connected to the vine, your branch won't produce anything. But if we are, we will start producing these things. Here's the sad part. We consciously know that, but instead of love, we tend to focus and become self-centered. Instead of joy, we are filled with emptiness. Instead of peace, we have a life of chaos and troublesome. Instead of patience, we become irritable. Instead of kind, we're rude. Instead of goodness, we have immoral or evil tendencies in our life. Instead of faithfulness, we become unfaithful. Instead of gentleness, we might actually battle harshness. And in self-control, we have self-indulgence. You see, if we are not abiding, those are the things that naturally start flowing out of us. So we need to abide in the vine. Last thing here, if we are abiding in his love, we will love as Jesus loves. Verse 12, my command is this, to love each other as I have loved you. And then here Jesus gives us three examples of, or expressions of his love. First of all, greater love has no one than this, than one laid down his life for his friends. Here Jesus says, listen, if you're abiding in my love, you will have a selfless and sacrificial love. You see, Jesus himself laid down his life for his friends. Number two, he said this, you are my friends if you do what I command. What was the command? To love one another. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I have from my Father, I have made you known. He invites them into a relationship to call them friend. And this is not just a pal friend. This is a we're on the same team friend. I'm the king and I invite you into my court to be my ally. It's a relationship. It's like, listen, if you're abiding in me, I invite you to be a friend. But not just that. Verse 16, Jesus said then to them, the apostles, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name will be given to you. So this is my command, love each other. Last thing we see is that Jesus took the initiative to demonstrate his love towards us. He chose us before we ever considered choosing him. We trust him. That's our responsibility. We believe him. But ultimately, he's the one that initiated this. And we celebrate that. Because I don't know about you, but I'm just not good enough to do anything good without God calling me and moving in my life. And so we're called for the purpose to have fruit that will last. So my question is, do you have fruit that is lasting? Or are you trying hard to produce your own fruit? You see, the key to Christian living is not trying harder, but staying connected to and dependent upon the vine. It's just that conversation, that relational connection, just that continual walk and talk with Jesus. You ever heard that old gospel? Just a little talk, just a little walk with Jesus. Tell him all about your troubles. I don't know who's ever heard that song? I'm pulling out my old Southern Baptist background right there. But it's just that continual conversation. Just tell him about life and continual conversation. That fully reliant saying, God, I don't have this. You know that phrase, I got this? Throw that away. Cross it out. God, you got this. I need you. I got you, God. Live in that dependence upon him. You see, living the Christian life is about trust and reliance upon the vine. But to even start the Christian life, it starts with trust and reliance upon Jesus Christ. So all those, this text is not about salvation. I want to separate that. You see, you might be wondering, Pastor Nate, what is this all about? Like, you're talking about this relationship. I don't even know what a relationship is. Well, this is what I want to tell you about a relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, we are all born in a place where we need a Savior, because we are all born in sin. There is no good baby, y'all. I think I've told you all this before. The day my kids were born, I raised them up, held them up, and said, you are a little sinner and you need to be saved. And it's true, because we are all born in sin. We got the sin gene through Adam. And that sin from birth separates from God. Because all sin separates from God. And so there's a natural thing that I need to start try harder and do this and do this and do this. But no matter how hard we try, we will spin our wheels, but we will never ever be able to make our relationship right with God. And God knew that. And so he sent, just about 2,000 years ago, for God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son to come to this earth, die on the cross for our sins, that if we trust in him, if we rely on him, if we're like, why should you be in heaven? Jesus. He died for me. That's the only reason why. If we put our trust in him alone, we can be forgiven of all of our sins, declared righteous and clothed with the righteousness of God. You see, salvation is trusting what he has done. That's the first trust. Then living the Christian life is the trust as well. Separate, but similar. The question is, have you trusted in Jesus? Second question, are you trusting in him even as a believer for your everyday life? Let's pray. Lord, we come before you this morning. Lord, and I recognize and I confess that so often I try to do this Christian life on my own. But I also recognize that I don't have the strength to do it. Lord, tonight, or this morning, Lord, as I'm here, Lord, I pray that I will be brought to memory the moments when I start not abiding. That, Lord, I will depend upon you. This morning, with your heads bowed, I'm not going to ask anybody to raise any hands or anything, but I just want to encourage you to ask you this question. Are you trying to live the Christian life on your own? And you just feel like you're spinning your wheels or you're just tired? If you are, I would encourage you, depend upon the one who's already done it. Depend upon the one who's paid for it all, your sins, but also empowers us through the Spirit. Abide in him. Rely upon him each and every hour. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.